Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the season, whether or not it's a complete and total waste, hangs by a thread, Cole. Three games left. South Carolina's got to win them all to make a bowl. To talk about it and their chances to maybe shock the world on the road at Texas A&M this weekend, we talked to Jack Veltri of Gamecock Central. Jack, would you say that my characterization of the season is accurate? Would you say that whether or not it's a total failure hangs by a thread right now?
I would say so, guys, and thanks for having me on as always. Yeah, I would say so. If they don't make a bowl game, I think that's an automatic failure right there. Don't care what you do the rest of the season against Coastal Carolina and Clemson. Wins in those games only gets you to 5 wins, and you know, I know a lot of people care about the Clemson game around here, and I think that lightens the word failure a little bit, but in my opinion, you don't make a bowl game after what you did last season, beating Clemson or not. It's a failure in basically every respect.
Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central. Jack normally joins us on Tuesdays, but with yesterday being Veterans Day, gracious enough to join us on this Wednesday. Jack, when you look at this matchup, man, Texas A&M, I mean, you're talking about one of the best teams in the country, and unfortunately, it seems like the Gamecocks have played one of the better teams in the country for 5 weeks now. Do you think the Gamecocks have learned anything in this five-game stretch against really quality opponents that can help them be a little bit better against another really good team in A&M on Saturday?
I think the one thing, Cole, that they probably have learned is that they're, like, it's going to sound crazy, but they're not that far off from, I think, being in the middle and winning some of these games. Here's the reason I say that. A lot of these games that South Carolina lost in this stretch, you look at it, they're right in it going into the fourth quarter. I mean, for all the criticism that Shane Beamer's gotten about the season, one thing he has not been wrong about is the fact that they're in the middle of these games going into the final 15 minutes. The problem is they just can't finish. They get in their own way, or they just don't play well to end the game. And that's what's kind of holding them back from making a bowl game right now, is they had a 2-point lead at Missouri in the fourth quarter. They were only down by a touchdown to LSU. They were, you know, up going into the fourth quarter against Alabama. Like, they have had a lot of chances to win games. The problem is they just cannot finish for the life of them. And that's something that I think will kind of get figured out in these final three games. Of course, that's why you made a change with the play caller to have Mike Furry call plays in hopes that the offense can finally get it going now that Mike Shula is no longer calling plays. But easier said than done.
So, Jack, now that the Gamecocks have had a week off leading into this A&M game, what are you hearing out of practice? What do you think? Is it a new look offense, or is it more of a back to the basics, get back to trying to figure out what we're good at as an offense?
So what we've heard from the players in Beamer, and as well as just the vibe overall, is that Mike Furry brings a different energy to the offense, in that he's just a guy that is a very energetic person. And I've seen him a few times at practice back in fall camp and even at the Citrus Bowl last year. This guy is a different animal. And I think that will hopefully rub off on these players in the way that he's just going about his business, trying to, you know, he's very much like Sean Elliott in a lot of ways, I would say. So I think that's the main thing, but they're also tweaking the playbook a little bit, is what Shane Beamer had to say earlier this week on Tuesday. And what that will look like is to be determined on Saturday. We'll know more once we're there, seeing the team play in person. But it seems like they're definitely committed to trying their best to salvage the season, and that does start with trying to fix what you can with this offense.
Jack, you know, it's interesting. I want to get your thoughts on Mike Furry. There was an interesting statement made in Shane Beamer's presser yesterday, and we're going to get to some audio from Shane Beamer a little bit later in the show, but I don't know who it was. Somebody asked Beamer if he would rule out, maybe it was you, maybe it was somebody else, rule out Furry being the OC going forward. And look, I want to hear your thoughts, but I think we're too far past that, in my opinion, just in terms of Beamer's seat being a little too hot for him to make another maybe it works kind of move. What are your thoughts on, even if Mike Furry does well down the stretch, him potentially being the new OC?
So I was the one to ask him that question about, basically my question was, what would it take for Mike Furry to really be considered in this OC hiring process? Because let's be honest, guys, as of right now, I would probably wager to guess they're going to go outside the building to go find their next offensive coordinator, whether it's a guy with NFL experience, whether it's a college guy, wherever you want to look, I think they're ultimately going to go outside the building. That said, it is worth asking the question, what happens essentially if Mike Furry does really well in these final three games and the offense looks like a complete 180 compared to everything that happened earlier this season under Mike Shula? It's a fair question to ask, and basically what Shane said, he's open to anything. He wouldn't rule anything out as far as what his decision-making will be in this process. My thing is, though, I don't know if you're Shane Beamer, I don't know if you can hinge everything going into next year on, like, this OC hire is so important, guys. Like, South Carolina has to get this thing right in order to turn things around. Shane's going to be the coach here going into next season. If this does not work out, this OC hire does not go well, I wonder how much longer Shane would last in Columbia if things are kind of like this next year, right? I think you could realistically start talking about, like is South Carolina going to look at firing him? And a lot of that may come down to what this OC hire looks like. And I don't know if you can necessarily put it all on let's go ahead and hire from within and just promote Mike Furry. He would have to look, this offense would have to look incredible over these final 3 weeks, I think, for that to actually be seriously considered.
Well, Jack, for what it's worth, I've had a toll-load Nick Steady in my inbox now for 2 weeks, at least 3 weeks, wanting Dowell Loggins back. And as far as I'm concerned, as an App State fan, you can have him. we've discussed that already. It's not going to happen. And somebody who's just achieved their first head coaching position is not going to give that up to run right back to where he was prior to getting that job. There's been a lot of talk, and it's just silly internet buzz at this point about Lenora Sellers transferring after the season. I've seen so many people, you know, Magic 8 Ball predicting Lenora Sellers is going to Miami. Could be absolutely nothing, but I guarantee Shane Beamer has heard it, or at least he's thought about it. But if you were Lenora Sellers and the draft grade is not where you want it to be, do you trust Shane Beamer enough to hire an OC to help you finish your career strong in Columbia?
I do. I do. I do believe he's going to make the right decision hiring an OC. There's so much on the line with this hire, right? Like I said before, I mean, his job could very well be on the line if this hire does not go well, because I think we're going to see South Carolina really go all in to make sure this is the right hire. You pay whoever it is what you need to pay him to bring that guy in, whoever it will be, pro, college, whatever coordinator, you're going to do your best to make it happen. And I'm going to be interested to see, you mentioned Sellers, I'm going to be interested to see, because he's got some time to make a decision after the season ends, because the portal doesn't open up until January 2nd, and then in mid-January, he'll have to make a decision on what he's doing with the NFL draft. I would be very interested to see if he does explore either of those opportunities. I feel like the best decision for him is just to come back. I think depending on who they hire as an offensive coordinator could be the ultimate difference maker in that. I think South Carolina is going to be quick and efficient with trying to get this hire done because of that decision right there. What is Lenora Sellers doing next year? I don't think he's going to be sitting here waiting around all day for South Carolina to make a decision on who they're hiring. So I think they're going to be quick and efficient and try to get the right guy in there. And that may ultimately be enough to sway a guy like Sellers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Who came back to South Carolina last year when I'm sure he had offers right and left from other schools around the country to come back and stay loyal to his home state school.
Jack, would you predict that South Carolina makes this hire, gets the guy in place before January 2nd when the portal window opens?
Has to. It's not even so much in my opinion there. I think it's more so like they have to get that thing figured out before then. I mean, you would have it if the season ended after the Clemson game. You have over an entire month to get a hire figured out. And if you really, if we're sitting here, I'm talking to you guys, January, whatever, you know, late December, and they still haven't made a hire, I'll be stunned. I will be stunned if they don't make a hire by then.
Jack, what does Marcel do? What does Marcel Reed do when it comes to striking fear in this defense for South Carolina when you look at Saturday's matchup?
He's very much like Sellers in a lot of respects, of a guy that can beat you with his arm and legs. I think I was talking to somebody earlier about this. I think the best way to look at it is Marcel Reed is having the season that I think we all thought Lenore Sellers would have. Look at his passing numbers. Really good. Does not turn the ball over a ton. He's only been sacked 7 times this season. And he's also rushing the ball pretty effectively with nearly 400 yards and I think 6 touchdowns. So, like I said, having a really good year, the type of year as a dual-threat quarterback that you would have thought Sellers would be having, and that has just not happened at all for Lenore's, but this is about Marcel. He has kind of been a huge part of why A&M is having the success that they're having. I think they've got it all figured out to where they've got the right pieces in place. They've got the quarterback. They've got a good run game. They have two of the best receivers in the SEC, if not the country. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how South Carolina approaches it this weekend because they face a guy like Sellers every day in practice. But how does that translate over into games will be the question of can you stop a guy like Reed?
Jack, you know, it's easy to look at some of the big names on the team, Lenore Sellers, Nick Harbor, DQ Smith, guys like them, and say maybe some of them aren't exactly having the season that they would like to have. Is there a name or two on this roster that you think has actually had a much better season than you mentally projected before it started?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Nick Harbor has been, I think, about what I hope for him. I think you would like to see a little bit more out of him. But at this point in the season, guys, he's your leading receiver, and he's making the most of his opportunities when they're there. Has he missed out on a few passes that he should have caught? Yes, I think so. But overall, I think he's done a nice job this season. I think he's someone that has definitely made progress. Another guy that maybe not necessarily in the tight end room has made a ton of impact this year, but I really do like what Maurice Brown has done this season. I asked Joe DiCamillo, South Carolina special teams coordinator, earlier today about who those guys are that he feels like has made a real big impact on special teams. And he said Mo Brown right off the bat. And if there were a special teams player of the year in the SEC, Joe D said that Mo Brown would probably be heavily considered for it. So he's made a ton of plays on special teams this year, and I think that kind of flies under the radar, but definitely another guy that I feel like has made a nice jump this year.
When you look at A&M, we talked about Marcel Reed, over 2,000 yards, 2,193 yards, 19 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, only been sacked 7 times. In your mind, what else, you know, we talk about the other guys a lot. Who are the other guys that you think for A&M could give South Carolina a little bit of a fit on Saturday?
I think you got to look at, you know, this run game. I mean, definitely got to look at the run game with Le'Veon Moss being back this year. Definitely Casey Concepcion is another guy. And I'm trying to remember I'm pulling up the numbers here to get the other receiver's name right. Craver.
Yeah.
That's another.
Mario.
Yes, Mario Craver. Two really, really good players. But how about Cassius Howell? I mean, this guy is going to be really, really tough for South Carolina's offensive line to defend this weekend coming off the edge. Guys, 10.5 sacks this year with 21 tackles for Howell. Really, really staggering numbers. Like Kyle Kinnard-level numbers. So that's someone that I think South Carolina is definitely going to have to keep a big eye on this weekend coming off the edge. But, yeah, those would probably be the guys that I would say are going to be really intriguing to watch.
Jack, we opened with this, and I know that you're on the you're obviously on the South Carolina beat, but what have been your general opinions on LSU trying to wiggle out of paying Brian Kelly and trying to argue that it was a for-cause firing?
I mean, what is the cause? That, you know, I don't get this one. I don't see it going in LSU's favor. What argument do they have? Like, this is the buyout that they agreed to. This is what they were going to pay him, and the fact of the matter is, Kelly just did not meet the expectations. It's not like you can say what you will about some of the things that have gone on at LSU and what you hear and all that, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if this is based on his performance, it just wasn't good enough. And, you know, I think he should be paid what he's owed. I mean, LSU does not have leverage in this. There's no argument to be made, in my opinion, and LSU needs to just pay him what and I understand why Kelly's not settling for the reported $25, $30 million when he clearly can be getting a lot more.
Well, Cole said, you know, how much worse, you know, worst case scenario, they got to pay him the $54 million. And I said, no, worst case scenario is they got to pay him $54 million. And then they've got to pay probably a couple million dollars to a lawyer. And then Brian Kelly sues them for defamation by trying to put some sort of bogus for cause tag on his resume, which may not get him hired somewhere else in the future. And then they might have to pay him damages after that. It could get really bad, really bad for LSU.
It could get really bad. And I just don't think when you look at the whole coaching carousel and what jobs are open, I know LSU is going to be a desirable job just off the name alone and the history there, but I'm going to be honest, guys, you look at the inner workings of what's going on there and this whole potential lawsuit that we have coming with BK and LSU and the fact that they have a new AD, a new president. I mean, a lot of things are going on there, and I just don't know. Take out the name LSU, and this is probably the least desirable job right now. But
that's a good point.
Because of LSU, it's going to be very desirable.
Jack, my last question for you. Your thoughts on Beamer's pushback to the media yesterday about the hires he's made at offensive coordinator and getting the hires wrong. He was very quick to push back on that. Your thoughts?
I'm not surprised that he's defending it. I mean, it's, you know, I get it because there were some good things that that his coordinators did in the past. I mean, he's not wrong. Marcus Satterfield, whether he was calling plays or not in that Tennessee game, South Carolina did score 63 points with him as the offensive coordinator. If you look at Dow Loggins, he did some very good things. Now, here's the main thing that Beamer brought up yesterday. Were these guys consistent enough? No. And I think that's the problem, is that not enough consistency. And in the case of Mike Shula this year, the only thing consistent about this offense was that it was just bad. So you got to kind of figure out how you're going to be better moving forward. But, I mean, I get why he's defending his hires and whatnot, but the fact of the matter is he has leaned a lot into guys with NFL experience and hasn't really gotten a guy that is just a true college offensive coordinator. That has not been the case so far with these first three hires, and I do wonder if that's the case with this one.
Jack, we can't say thank you enough for your time every single week. And, you know, good luck this weekend calling the game. Are you headed to Texas A&M or are you staying and watching on TV?
I will be there in Texas covering that game. So looking forward to it.
Thanks, Jack. Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central, really good stuff there. Again, you normally hear him on Tuesdays, but with us being off yesterday, you did hear him today. Tolos, before this next segment, I want 10 upset pick entries before we start the very next segment. 844-FAN-PHONE, that's 844-326-3663. Diesel and I need your name, the game, and the spread. I do want to shout out and make sure he gets it in right next time, Diesel, in the very last segment. I did see Kevin get his upset pick in. I just wanted to make sure he got the formatting right there. He says, I'm taking App State to win. D-Lo can't keep losing, breaking the streak this week. Kevin, just make sure on your future text we need your name, the game, and the spread from Kevin Ramsey. Also see Young Gravy Nuts, Kane, Brandon and Spartanburg, Clemson 83. Why are you laughing?
How can you keep a straight face when you text
it? It is wild. Dustin M., Mickey G., keep them coming. I want 10 before we start the next segment, Diesel. I want 10. Simple as that. Do you know your role? I think this viral sensation of knowing your role for an upcoming holiday has got me maybe in the best spot I've ever been in terms of knowing your role. I'll have the audio for you next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.